I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
In a world where you see collapse on all levels of society, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to be the cheese? That's right, you heard me right. Are you willing to be the cheese? A few years ago, I wrote a karate column in one of the magazines that I've written for many, many, many years. And it was called The Cheese Stands Alone. Of all columns that I've ever written, that one just got an enormous amount of feedback. It seemed to really resonate with people. And it seemed to be a topic taken from a simple nursery rhyme that people could use and understand and relate to their own students as instructors about how everybody needs to be the cheese. So you may or may not be familiar with The Farmer in the Dell, a nursery rhyme about, the farmer takes the wife takes the cat, and you go all the way down to the mouse, and finally the mouse takes the cheese, and then the cheese stands alone. That says a lot, that nursery rhyme. For someone like me, I can do a lot with that one last statement of that little rhyme, the cheese stands alone. I want you to know something. Many times in my life, ladies and gentlemen, I have had to be the cheese. Many times. I have gone against the grain. I have stood up when nobody else would stand up, much to my shock and awe. I've had to walk out. I've had to walk away. And I've done it for one simple reason. Because I have a thorough understanding that my higher purpose in this life will require that of me. If you have an understanding about a higher purpose in your life, there will be times you're not going to be able to go along with everybody else. I often tell young people, they tend to be in my path a lot, young people, teenagers, when I get a chance to speak to them in schools or at martial arts seminars or whatever, I often tell them, if you're not following the crowd and you're not being accepted by that crowd, good for you. That means you're going to be a leader. Because leaders don't follow. Leaders stand alone a lot of the time. Here's something interesting about being the cheese. So now on, when I refer to being the cheese, you know what I mean, okay? As I look back over my life, I've realized that as painful, as hard as some of those times I stood alone in those stances, I may have been tough. They may have been even embarrassing. I may have received some ridicule or just some people thinking I'm the weirdie, the weirdo, which actually people do still think that. But I really don't care anymore, okay? But as much as it may have been uncomfortable as a younger adult and growing up, that I took the chances to stand alone, risking ridicule or being ostracized, I came to realize in full circle that standing alone never took away from me. It never took away from me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It added to me. It added to the person that I am because I did that one thing. And in the end of whatever that particular stance may have been, I've always seen it come full circle in some way. Sometimes it was a physical sense of having to stand alone on certain things in certain areas, and spiritually it would come full circle and be the biggest blessing of my life, the biggest blessing of my life. Now, as I get a little older, I start to push the envelope a little bit. I'm like, I wonder if I really take this stance against all others, really take this stance, will this be the one thing that's going to take me down as a person? Will this be the one thing that will cause me to lose my audience? Will this be the one thing that will cause people that have been in my circle to turn their back from me because they're starting to see who I really am, who the real person is inside of me? Will this happen if I take this stance? And I want to let you know something. Not only does it not happen, but I get more people in my circle. I get a bigger audience. I get more opportunity. And the only thing I could equate that to is the biblical stances that I know and have tried to live by. And one of the biggest ones, if you seek first the kingdom of God and all the things he says to do, his righteousness, then anything and everything you could want or need will be added to you. You can't go wrong with that. It's just a good circle to do these things. It's just a very good circle to do it. I remember a few years ago, I was sitting and judging a martial arts tournament. It was one of these kind of open tournaments where there was just a little bit of everything. They had a lot of different categories. But for some reason, they didn't separate what they call like the musical katas. In other words, for people not in martial arts, you have your forms that you do, these ancient moves of so many steps. And when you do them in competition, some of the more modern tournaments will let you add music to it. And it's a lot of fun to do that. I mean, I personally enjoy doing that. But in traditional martial arts, it's kind of a big no-no. You don't do that. I grew up very much a traditionalist. But anyway, they didn't have it separated from the modern musical type katas to just the open hand regular type katas. And so you had traditional people competing against people who were doing all what I call all that jazz, you know, in their form competition. And if you didn't have a trained eye, ladies and gentlemen, you probably would lend your vote toward the person with the musical kata, the musical forms, because it plays on your emotion. It looks cool, it's groovy, it's entertaining. Maybe they can kick really high when they hit a particular note or beat in that song. You know, they do what I call the death scream at certain areas. My God, I've judged so many of these things. Sometimes I'm not sure if I'm supposed to score them on that or call 911. I seriously am wondering what's with that scream thing. Because traditionally, you do have points where you do scream, but not like that. Oh, no. Google musical kata sometimes, you'll see what I mean. You know, making that face from like a demon out of hell. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of acrobatics and a lot of role-playing or drama, entertainment, whatever you want to call it, that goes into more modern musical-type katas. And I don't like, again, I enjoy them, don't get me wrong, but they shouldn't be mixed with the traditional forms, competitions. So we had a gentleman come out, probably in his 20s, an Asian man, and he did an open-hand form, an open-hand kata in a traditional uniform, just a white uniform with a black belt, okay? He performed his form to such expertise, according to what my trained eye can see, considering, you know, what it's worth. I mean, I have been doing this for a long, long, long time, 30-plus years. I mean, everything was there. The timing, the balance, the snap, the power, even the way he was breathing. You can tell that he had trained and he had got these ancient moves down to perfection. And he lost to the other young man, I believe somewhere in his late teens, that was flipping and screaming and kicking to music. It was a nonsensical form in the aspect that it wasn't anything you would use in traditional fighting. There was no process to it of how I could judge to see that this made any sense when you consider forms are defending yourself against multi-assailants. I couldn't see any of that, but he got judged high on the emotions of people rising. On their emotions. And I thought to myself, well, you know, that's really not fair. I took it upon myself to go up to the the traditionalist who did the form to perfection and tell him, listen, that was perfection. You know, had you been in a different category made, you most certainly would have taken the biggest trophy on the planet for that. That was just incredible. But because he was so different in what everybody else was doing, he wasn't going to get a very high score. And I felt bad about that, probably more than he did. But, of course, you know, sometimes karate tournaments can be like that, and sometimes they're not fair, and you got to know that going in. But anyway, it often brings back to my point about how you're being the cheese. I'm sure he could have probably, with his ability and the skill set I saw, put on some, you know, silky thing, you know, some silky Budokan thing, I don't know, and gone ahead and added some music and put on the theatrics with it, but he chose not to do that. He chose to stay in the tradition of the true martial arts defense system of against multi-assailants. So I hope I'm making my point a little bit here. But I was really impressed with the fact that he wasn't going to bow down to the way things are changing in the martial arts tournament circuit as well. There's something to be said about standing alone. But there's also something to be said, my friends, about not standing alone. Because if you're not willing to stand alone and stand into what you know to be truth, then you're willing to bow down. You're willing to bow down sometimes to anything and everything, and I see it all around me today. I see it all around me today with good, smart, intelligent, honest, hardworking Americans bowing down to things that they should not be bowing down to. I don't know if it's a fear factor. I don't know if it's afraid of being ostracized or being labeled a certain label. You know, I can understand a fear being a huge motivator for people to follow in on the crowd, but I want to encourage you today not to do that. I have been tempted to bow down. I certainly have. I remember at one particular martial arts event, it was a banquet for very high-ranked martial artists. This was also many years ago. I remember being a part of that banquet, and everybody was requested to get up out of their seat, walk around, and bow down, face down, to who they considered to be their main martial arts grand poopah leader. Didn't even speak English. And I remember I would not get out of my seat. And me and the person sitting next to me were the only two people in that room of about 200 people who didn't get up and get in line to bow down to this person's feet. I was shocked. I mean, the person next to me probably didn't do it because they know I would smack him on the head, and then he'd never hear the end of it. I don't know, but I know I had my conviction for sure. This was not going to happen. I will not bow down. I will not take a knee. Unless it's Jesus Christ himself standing in front of me. I promise you that. I cannot do that. I cannot do that. I bow down for one person only. I take a knee for one person only. There's only one thing important enough for me to show that kind of humility and respect for, and that's my Lord and Savior. So if I've already upset you, I'm just the cheese. I'm the cheese, and I'm willing to stand alone for what I consider to be my truth. There are times that you're going to have to choose to stand alone because the alternative of not standing alone means that you're going to have to bow down. What are you willing to bow down to? I'm shocked to see the people that bow down to things in particular, things I know they know better. I know they know better, and they do it. You think you're not bowing down. Really, really double check and triple check these things that play on your conscience and the things that people go against to figure out where you stand on stuff. Because if you can't be true to yourself and what your truth is and what you believe in and who your God is, if you can't be true to that, you're going to fall for anything. And therein lies a problem. People fall for things because they're not willing to stand in what they know is truth. And that's going to be a very big fall, ladies and gentlemen, one of these days, really soon. It's going to be a big fall. And I want to challenge you to make sure you know what you believe, to make sure you know where you stand. This is kind of a continuum of my last series on Blog Talk Radio, where I'm talking about consistency. Because if you can't be consistent, you're never going to be able to be successful. Because success is on that other side of consistency. But you have to be consistent in what you know you believe in. So I don't believe in anything. Well, then I'll at very least respect your consistency and not believe in anything. But don't be on social media asking for prayer or telling someone you're going to pray for them when I know that you're at very least an agnostic or an atheist. I mean, I know from having discussions with you. I mean, this blows me away. I see this all the time. People who I know don't believe in anything but still will wish-wash all over the place, I guess, to get social acceptance. If you don't believe in it, I'll respect the fact that you take a stance in it. If you're a Satanist, I'll respect that more. I'll respect the fact that you take a stance in what you believe. I don't believe in what you believe in. Our beliefs are totally different. But the fact that you're willing to take a stand, howbeit a stand that may send you to hell, but the fact that you're willing to take a stand means more to me than people who are all over the place. Did you know in the teachings of Christ, he says you're not hot for the teachings of Christ. You're not cold for the teachings of Christ. You're lukewarm, and because you do that, I'm going to spew you out because I hate it. I hate that you're lukewarm. Pick a God. That's what he's saying. Pick a God. Pick a God and decide, because it's going to come down to the fact that the decision will be made for you. Eventually, this decision will be made for you. Parents out there, you need to be teaching your children the spiritual aspects of life, what it means to be on a spiritual journey, how you can combat the evils that come against you. Because if you don't teach your children the way to go, they're going to have to find out the hard way. And sometimes if God comes calling on particular people, it's a hard fall. Oh, it's painful. It's a painful fall. You may save them a rehab trip. You may save them a trip from being put in jail or prison. You may save them a lot of hardship if you just teach them the truth and train them up in the way they should go. When we have students come in as white belts, we don't automatically put them in a ring to fight black belts. They're not trained. They're not trained to fight that black belt. I mean, we may put them in with a black belt for a black belt to help them learn, but the black belt's certainly not going to go off on them. They're going to help them. But you can't put them in the ring and expect them to know what to do at a black belt competition because they're not trained. It's the same thing spiritually. If you don't train your students or your children or whoever in the ways that, of how to combat things in this world, they're going to grow up and be put in a ring with someone who is trained and maybe not in a good way. And they're going to have to go against that, and they're going to lose. And they're going to have to at very least learn through their very hard knocks and struggles and getting knocked down and having to pick themselves back up in a very difficult way. What am I saying? Am I saying that people who are spiritual don't have those issues? I'm not. Spiritual people have trials, troubles, and tribulations, as the Bible calls it, like everybody else. But they're spiritually trained to combat evil things. They'll know what to do when they're being attacked. They'll know what to do if you teach them. Don't leave it up to your church leaders to do it. Because some churches, they're unfortunately, they don't understand the goal and the point of what's going on here. The point is to train people to be warriors, spiritual warriors when they go to church, to train them. Sunday school is about training the youngest of ages on up, being in a sermon, hearing the pastor preach is about training them on how to battle evil, how to battle evil in their daily lives, how to be victorious, how to have good relationships, good health, how to have money coming in, all the things of an abundant life that Jesus Christ said we can have because he already paid the price for it on the cross. They need to understand how that works. Now, if you don't understand what I just said, then you didn't get your training. Because what I just said is very white belt stuff in Christianity. And if you didn't get it, you didn't get your training. So shame on the people in your church for not teaching you that. That is A1 white belt stuff. So you can hit me up and I'll tell you. I'll be glad to walk you through it. Yes, sir, the cheese stands alone. I know sometimes, Master Karen, if you call me that, can be very difficult. I understand that. Ask my family. Ask the people closest to me. I don't have a lot of extremely close people. I got a lot of acquaintances, but those who really, really know me, they must really like me because they know I can be very difficult. I'm very direct. I'm very headstrong because I know what I believe. And sometimes just the inflections of this broadcasting voice I have here, which sounds great right now on Blog Talk Radio, you add a little bit of reprimandation behind it, and boy, it scares people. It can sound scary, but sometimes I do it because I care, because I've already been there and done that. I sat through that movie. I know how it ends, and I want to help you. I want to help you going through this, that you won't have to struggle or fall down like I had to. We're here to help each other with our life lessons. That's why we don't sweep the bad things that happens to us under a rug. Spiritual people don't sweep bad things under a rug. Did you know that? People on a spiritual journey will take the rug and shake it and show everybody what's under there. Why? Because we know that the things done to us that will help other people will turn something very bad into something very good. We're making a positive out of a negative. That's definitely being the cheese. When you're willing to lift up the carpet and show everybody all the junk, the muck, the dirt, the grime that's under that carpet, you're taking a chance. In the back of your mind, you think, well, they may not like me when they know what a victim I was, how I was treated, how I was done wrong. I'd have to humble myself to do that. Humble yourself and be the cheese. Be the person that stands alone if you have to, because that's in your calling and your higher purpose to do so. Mm-mm-mm. I hope you like that. I liked it. I like telling you that. I feel like I had to do it, as I often do. Well, I'm getting pretty busy here. This year is starting to fill out as far as my appearances and where I'm going to be, and I want to let you know. In April, I will be at the Cleveland Hall of Fame, and I believe it is the first weekend in April. I'm going to double check, or you can get with people from Cleveland that are in martial arts, and they can tell you. I'll double check that, and I'll put it on it's on my timeline. Hang on a minute. Let me go to that right now, so that I can make sure I have these dates right of what my appearances are going to be. And I have coming up Cleveland Hall of Fame, Saturday, April the 9th. You can see Richard McClain if you'd like to go. And really, you can go, okay? You can go. Just tell Richard you want to come. Typically, the people inducted into the Cleveland Hall of Fame are from Cleveland. I just want to let you know that. Or they're from Ohio, okay? But you can still come anyway, and I'm honored to speak there. June 25th, Saturdays at Karate College at Radford University in Virginia. This is hands-on. This will be hands-on. And, so wear your sweatpants or bring your karate pants or your karate uniform or whatever. But we always have a good time. That one's long-running, over 30 years that one's been going on at Radford University in Radford, Virginia. You can see Jerry Beasley. He'll tell you how to get in on that, and I will be teaching a hands-on seminar. October the 7th and 8th, Friday and Saturday, the Sport Karate Museum in Houston. Always have a good time with my brothers and sisters in martial arts in Houston. I look forward to seeing all of them. You can contact Gary Lee and make sure you let him know ahead of time. He is not someone who likes to do things at the last minute. Sport Karate Museum event, and we all sit down. We have a nice little dinner on that Saturday. We have special guests and speakers, and he's got quite the lineup. So I'm also fortunate to be part of that as well. I thought I had one more, but I don't at this moment know what that could be, but I will put it on this list on my Facebook timeline, Karen Eden Herden, if you want to go to that. And so I think that's all that I really need to say at this time. You guys, you know, I've already told you, don't stop worrying about stuff. You know, you either believe in God or you don't. If you believe in a living God and that he's part of your life, then you know what? You need to quit worrying. You just need to quit worrying and let him take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. It's true. It's very true. It's in a lot of sitcoms, but it's very true. Let Jesus take the wheel because he already knows what you want and what you need. You've got issues or problems. You have to trust and learn to lean on him. Don't have fear of your own life. Everybody's days are numbered. But you know what? He knows. He knows what you need when you need it, and you don't have to take thought or worry about stuff like that. All right, guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.